You're listening to 88.3 Southern FM, the sounds of the Bayside.
On the space show, we're going to have now some more Australian space industry news. And we have an update report on the New South Wales government-funded Waratah Seed satellite that was launched last year. First, a reminder of what the satellite is.
About the Waratah Seed 1 satellite, Australia's first rideshare satellite, Waratah Seed 1 launched into orbit on the 17th of August last year. The Waratah Seed's first mission, WS1, carries five payloads from the winners of the WS1 payload competition, run in 2021 to support NSW-based space technology startups to demonstrate their technology in space and engage new export markets. Also on board the Waratah Seed's WS1 mission are four technology payloads developed by academic and commercial space technology teams. The Waratah Seed WS1 satellite's primary mission is to engage New South Wales-based space technology startups to fly with the mission at reduced cost, enabling them to test and demonstrate the viability and space readiness of their technology. This space heritage is essential to gaining investment and export opportunities for new technology. Other mission objectives are to gauge interest in rideshare missions for Australian companies and research organisations for research purposes and as demonstrators to test new or new versions of space technology, to raise awareness of the NSW space ecosystem, and to support the development of space technology with the potential for manufacturing and/or export.
On December the 5th, the Waratah team excitedly reported on the first 100 days in space.
Waratah Seed 100 days in space. The Waratah Seed 1 satellite has now been in orbit for over 100 days, completing over 1,500 revolutions around the Earth. We are celebrating this huge milestone with a look back at the highlights of our August 17th launch. Satellite communications with our ground stations have been successfully established, and commissioning of the payloads is underway, powering up systems and starting to receive data from the technology on board. Waratah Seed 1 carries the winners of the WS1 payload competition, run in 2021 to support New South Wales-based space tech startups to demonstrate their technology in space. The satellite also carries payloads from our clients and partners, both academic and commercial. Built by QAVA, the ASC Center for QBSATS, UAV and their applications in the School of Physics at the University of Sydney, the Waratah Seed mission is supported by the New South Wales Government through Investment New South Wales Pilot Space Qualification Mission Grant. Key stakeholders SmartSat CRC, SmartSat, New South Wales Node and SmartSat's Aurora Space Cluster are providing co-funding for several payloads on the Waratah Seed WS1 mission. Raytheon Australia contributed co-funding towards costs of joint first prize winners, Europa Power and Spiral Blue, flying on WS1.
On February the 19th, the team posted this report, celebrating 6 months in orbit.
The Waratah Seed Space Qualification Mission, WS1, has been declared a success after 6 months in orbit. Waratah Seed's WS1 satellite now has 7 of 9 payloads successfully operating and has reached 6 months in orbit. The Waratah Seed Consortium can confirm that the Waratah Seed 1 satellite now has 7 of 9 technology payloads operational and generating data. The Waratah Seed 1 mission will extend operations, surpassing expectations after operating successfully for 6 months as of Monday, February 17th. Of the 9 technology payloads on board Waratah Seed 1, 7 are now fully commissioned, operational, and sending data files back to Earth for analysis. Of the remaining 2 payloads, both are drawing current and one has generated a data file on board. Professor Ivia Cairns, director of QAVA and Waratah Seed, said, "The Waratah Seed project is now overwhelmingly successful, with 7 of the 9 payloads and the entire satellite bus operational. We have brought 6 space startups, 3 universities, and multiple companies into space together for the first time, well beyond what we, NSW government, and our funders hoped for. We look forward to more successes for Waratah Seed and other Australian space projects." The Waratah Seed WS1 mission launched and deployed into space last year on August 17th. Discussions are underway to gauge interest in a WS2 rideshare mission. Of the five Waratah Seed Payload Competition winners on board the Waratah Seed 1 satellite, three technologies have demonstrated their space readiness. Port 2, a perovskites in orbit readiness test designed by Europa Power, the University of Sydney Space Solar Cell Research Team led by 2024 Space Awards Scientist of the Year, Anita Ho-Bailey. The solar cells are designed to improve the cost, performance and durability of spacecraft solar cells and could be manufactured in Australia. Innovative solar cells based on terrestrial silicon technologies designed by Extraterrestrial Power, which aim to make the cells more resistant to radiation and significantly increase their operating life in space. An experimental metamaterial developed by dandelions using natural fibers such as flax and hemp, testing their potential to provide a cost-effective, heat-resistant alternative to carbon fiber for use in spacecraft insulation. The WS-1 mission also carries payloads from our academic and commercial partners. All of these technology payloads are commissioned, operational, and sending data files. Matilda, a novel spacecraft thermal management system developed by University Technology Sydney and Mawson Rovers, using a 3D-printed heat sink payload with an integrated phase change material which releases thermal energy over a period of time. Harry 3, a third-generation global positioning system reflectometry payload developed by the Australian Centre for Space Engineering Research at University New South Wales, designed to monitor ocean conditions remotely by measuring signals scattered off the waves. SPADES, a submillimeter particle detection system developed in the School of Physics at the University of Sydney, designed to detect space debris particle impacts on satellites and to measure the Earth's ionospheric plasma. EPM, an electropermanent magnetorquer designed and built by the University of Sydney and University spin-off space technology startup, Deneb Space, to measure and change the positioning of the satellite using much less power than conventional attitude determination and control systems. The remaining two Waratah Seed Payload Competition winners, now drawing current but not yet fully operational, are SE2, an innovative space edge computing system developed by Spiral Blue, an upgrade from prototypes successfully launched in 2021 and 2022, which aims to deliver in-orbit image processing and delivery of near-real-time observation data onboard Earth observation satellites. Subsystems and sensors for a robot arm, developed by Sparospace using unique tactile grips from partner Contactile, intended to enable on-orbit satellite maintenance, assembly, manufacturing, and debris removal.
In other Australian space industry news, ELO Subscript 2 is a consortium that has won the contract to build Australia's first moon rover. No. ELO is not the Electric Light Orchestra, but rather stands for EPE plus Lunar Outpost Oceania. Now, EPE in turn means Enable Protect Environments, a company owned by Australian military veterans. Well, this progress report on Rover from the Australian Space Agency was issued on the 12th of March.
After more than 2 years of work, Australian-led consortium ELO2 has won the contract to build and operate our nation's first lunar rover, which gives us a closer look at the technology headed for the moon. The semi-autonomous vehicle, named Rover by the Australian public, will travel to the moon later this decade in support of NASA's Artemis program. The ELO2 consortium building it through the agency's $42 million investment is co-led by Lunar Outpost Oceania and EPE Oceania. Among the consortium are 10 different Australian universities, local space companies like Innovor Technologies, Sabre Astronautics, and Element Robotics, and educational outreach organisations such as One Giant Leap Australia. The lunar rover will collect regolith, lunar soil, and in collaboration with NASA, use this resource in establishing a sustainable human presence on the moon. Suffice to say, the significance of this mission extends even beyond writing a new page in Australian history. Despite having already built a working prototype of its rover concept, ELO2 still has plenty more work to do to arrive at the final version ready for the moon. In fact, just hours after ELO2 was announced as the contractor to take the rover concept forward, it began advertising for new recruits to support the process. Its current staff of around 100 is double the size it was last year. Consortium Director Ben Sorensen says his growing team is now refining the design and gearing up for a fresh program of rigorous testing to ensure Rover rises to the challenges ahead of it.
The initial competitive phase of the rover's development focused on de-risking key aspects and feeding lessons learned into the preliminary design,
Ben says.
Now, as the consortium selected to build Rover, we will see the implementation of the lessons learned, as well as a systematic qualification of the rover.
Alongside the rover design itself, another key element of the mission preparation is the supporting infrastructure involved. The ELO2 team will rely on carefully designed Australian test equipment and facilities that faithfully simulate the extreme physics of several environments. This includes the vibration of a rocket launch, the vacuum of space, and moving through regolith in low lunar gravity. Several consortium members around the country will contribute testing facilities to the program, such as the National Space Qualification Network led by the Australian National University, the ICSTRA's laboratory at Adelaide University, and CSIRO.
The thermal, radiation, and vacuum environment all vary significantly from launch to landing. The rover will have to demonstrate that it can survive both very hot and very cold conditions, with a particular focus on electronics,
Ben says.
The rover needs carefully designed cooling and heating systems that are well balanced to ensure the rover doesn't overheat in full sun and doesn't drain the battery too fast when in shade. It's vital that the rover is resistant to the radiation levels seen in transit, particularly ionizing radiation during transition across the Van Allen belts and high-energy particles on the way to the lunar surface.
Being a semi-autonomous vehicle, Rover will also depend on infrastructure for remote guidance once it lands on the moon and it's ready to roll across the lunar surface. It will take commands from over 350,000 kilometers away at a mission control center in Australia, integrated with communications infrastructure in the US and other locations around the world.
The people controlling the rover will be doing so from right here. Australian operators will be trained to control and monitor the rover throughout the entire mission,
Ben says.
Operators will control the rover using a mix of discrete manual commands and by uploading high-level plans, which the rover will execute autonomously.
The growing public anticipation and broad industry collaboration behind Rover is a reminder of how much it's elevating Australia's space sector even before it reaches the moon. When Rover is being loaded onto a rocket for launch, Ben believes plenty will have already been proven and achieved from an Australian space capability perspective.
Achieving delivery of the rover with NASA's confidence, even before launch, will demonstrate a major milestone and step up in Australian capabilities as a trusted partner for space exploration missions.
Meanwhile, Ben and his team have also started making preparations for what will be another enduring legacy of the mission, images of Rover on the Moon.
We are currently identifying the images that can be provided both from the rover and from the lander looking out to the rover, and how we can best use them, both to ensure mission success and to show Australia what this mighty little rover can do,
Ben says.
I dream of that image where Rover has been deployed and is making its tracks across the lunar South Pole surface. It's going to be epic.